in this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptation, we believe, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love invade, let the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe, we believe. And the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know Your love will never fail. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe.
I'd like to give you just a few facts. Last week, Pastor Larry announced we was going to take up a War on Hunger offering this morning. So I'd just like to give you a few facts, kind of build on where Pastor Larry left off last week on some of those facts. He mentioned last week that 1 billion people, when he said that, it just kind of blew my mind. I didn't really grasp that. He said 1 billion people in the world do not eat enough to be healthy. That means that one in every eight people on earth go to bed hungry at night. One in every eight. 49 million of those are Americans that struggle with hunger. And then the Southern Baptist Convention, to do a hunger ministry meal, it cost just 30 cents. 30 cents for one meal. And every cent that we give to World Hunger goes directly to feeding the hungry. They have stuff in line. They have other means of taking care of their administrative costs. So everything that we give goes to World Hunger. So we ask this morning that you prayerfully give this morning. I'm going to say a little word of prayer, and we're going to have our little kids come up, and they're going to give out, they're going to take up our offering this morning. So let's ask the Lord to just bless this offering. Father, we love you this morning. God, we ask you, Lord, just to touch every heart here this morning. God, allow them to see maybe someone in their life. If one in every eight are going to bed hungry, that's a neighbor. So God, I pray that we would look around and we would see our neighbors and we begin to support them and help them. And Lord, we would just give as you have laid on our hearts. Father, we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Did everyone get a chance to give? If not, we'll send these little kids out. You can't resist them. That's what I love about sending these little kids out there. You can't resist them. They come up and have that little thing out, and they just smile at you and going, and there you got to give. So God's going to bless that. Let's pray one more time that God's going to bless that real short prayer. Then Keith's going to, Brother Keith is, he's a, I guess, an old family friend. We've known his parents for years, and last time I really remember seeing Keith a whole lot, he was about my Jacob size. And now he's all grown up. He's at Liberty College, and I've asked him to just come lead us in worship this morning. So I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then Brother Keith's going to lead us in worship. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for this offering. God, we pray, Lord, that every penny, every cent will make it to the mouth of a hungry person, whether that be in our United States or whether that be abroad. Father, we love you and we love your people. So God, as we give, God, you bless this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul is talking to God, and God says to Paul, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." So this morning we're going to start off with, "Your grace is enough."
It is your faithfulness, O God. You restore with a sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. Remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
Thank you. my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength, away. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through. Away. My God will come through always, always.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this morning, Lord, and letting us come into this place, Lord, and worship you, Lord, and help us remember that your grace is enough, Lord. Your promise is true. You're there with us. You're strong. You hold us up. You lift us up, Lord. And don't ever let us lose sight of that, Lord. We just ask you to be with us here this morning, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord. Help us see you grow to know you more, Lord, and to love you even more. Just thank you for your Son and what he did for us, Lord, and for everything you've blessed us with. I love you. Amen.
Reading from Psalms 105. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. May we pray. Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts, knowing that all we are and all we have is a gift from you. For this Youth Sunday, we thank you for the young people of this church. We ask for open minds and open hearts as we worship together. Help us always to be the people that you would have us to be. As we offer our gifts of time and talent and possessions, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. May you be honored and praised forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Age to age, she stands. In time.
God bless you. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll sing how great, how great is our God. What name above? You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing and praise our God. You are name above. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing and praise our God. And God, oh, we'll sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And oh, we'll sing how great is our God.
How great is our God? Our God is greater than we can ever imagine. Our God is beyond my realm of thinking. I don't even understand sometimes how big God really is. And as we sang that song, I just began to think how big is God and how He's worked in my life and things He's done and things He's doing and things He's really working in. And how He's just drawing me to where He wants me to be. This morning, as we read through Deuteronomy, and I've been reading through this book of Deuteronomy for quite a few weeks now, and I'm beginning to just piece some of it together, really how big God is and how big God's plan really is, and how each generation should work together, and how our churches really need be mentors to our younger ones, and our young ones really need to have someone that they can look up to. As I begin to think about how we're going to build new generations that are ready to go into the promised land. What's our promised land? As the Israelites sat on the outside of their promised land, the land that God had promised to their fathers, they stood there and they looked at it and they was afraid to go in. They didn't know exactly what they was getting into. They knew God had made them a promise, but yet they didn't know. There were some things there that was frightening to them. And yet they stood on the promised land and right on the edge of it and was with fear to go in. As I read this and I began to think in Deuteronomy here, as Moses' life was coming to an end, and as he was getting his people ready, they had been through the wilderness, they had been through that that 40 years. And now they're at the edge of the promised land again. And they're there, they're ready to go in. And Moses is trying to prepare his people to go in. Our promised land. You know, God promised us a land. In John chapter 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Man, what a promise. What a promise. So as we're on the edge of the promised land, trying to prepare our younger generations to go in, I think back to Moses as he was preparing those to go in. This is what he wrote to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. As you get there, if you will, stand with me as honoring a reading of God's Word, and we'll begin reading in chapter number 30 and verse 15. Moses said unto the people, See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. He's giving them a choice. Set before you life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love your God to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if you harden or turn your hearts away from the Lord, you do not away so that you do not hear, and you draw away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall perish. You should not prolong the days in this land which you have crossed over the Jordan to possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you basically a choice, life or death. Blessings and cursings, therefore choose life. That both you and your descendants, the next generations, may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life. And the length of your days and He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord has sworn to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give to them. Father, we love you this morning. God, speak. God, simply speak to our hearts. That's my heart. Hide me behind your cross and allow me to speak your word in truth and in boldness. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So building a new generation, Moses is there. He's on the edge of the promised land, knowing that he'll never be able to go into this promised land, never knowing he'll never be able to see, but yet he encourages the younger generation because God has made them a promise that they're going to be able to go into this promised land. So he's there. He's on the edge of this promised land. He begins to teach them and show them, preparing them to get in. As he prepares them, he looks back and says, we've been through 40 years. And through this 40 years, we have learned some things. They want us to kind of look at those. Four kind of key words. Time, together, trust, and teach. Four words. Four key words. We'll look at those. We'll look at those, and it'll take about an hour and a half, and we'll be done, and everybody can get out of here early. So we'll start with time. Time. What does it mean? Time. The time that they spent in the wilderness was preparing them to go into the promised land. Time. You know, sometimes we think that especially our younger generations, we think that whatever we're going to do for God, we need to do it right now and have results right now. It's kind of like Burger King. Right now, right away, my way. I want it right here, right now. I want it done. And I want to receive the results. But yet Moses had wandered through the wilderness for 40 years and didn't see much results. Don't get discouraged, young people. Don't get discouraged, older generations, when things doesn't maybe go on your timing. It's all in God's timing. God works in your life. He's pulling you in a certain direction. You know, the younger generations especially, they think everything should happen right now. I can remember a few years ago I read an article in a work magazine, just kind of, I had to do a lot of safety things for the company I was working for. So every morning we'd have to do a safety, just a little safety seminar thing for like 3 to 5 minutes. Had to run through it, just, okay, everybody be safe today, here's a little thing. And they give me a little article. And in those articles, just a little sayings and little surveys or something they had done. But one of them was a survey. One of them was a survey of they went to the older generation and they said, give me one word that will describe the younger generation. And overwhelmingly, they come back with one word, and it began with an E word. So they went to the younger generation, said, younger generation, the older generation has described you with an E word. What do you think it is? What would you guess it would be? And they come back and they said, man, I have to think. Let's see, maybe enthusiastic. No, that's not it. Extraordinary. No, that's not it. Well, what would they describe them as? And they begin to think maybe enthusiastic or eager. Nobody ever guessed it. The younger generation never guessed it. And they begin to think, and they said they come back and they gathered them all together and they set them down. They said, the older generation had one word for you. Entitled. I think that's where our younger generations are at. They think they're entitled to everything. And we've made them that way. We give them what they want when they want it. I'm as guilty as the next. We think that our young people can't do without. We've put them in car seats. Man, when I was growing up, I didn't have a car seat. We put them in helmets just across the street. We try to protect them and we build them, and we think they're just so fragile that we've protected them and we've given them everything they want. We've created this monster. See, I think that God has given us a time. He's given us a time with these young people. Older generation, how do you know if you're in the older generation? I'm speaking to the older generation. Did you just ask yourself, am I in the older generation? If you did, well, okay. I'm not going there. I'm not going to. If you ask yourself that, you're probably in the older generation. So, younger generation, word for you. That's some of you guys over here. You're in the younger generation. You're not the older. You're not gray-headed. You're the older. I got a few of those there. I have none up here, thank the Lord. But younger generation, I got a word for you. Don't get bogged down and burdened in what you think you should be doing for God. Looking for results now. God's got a plan for you. God's got something working in the works for you. He's working through you, working in your life. And as He works through you and works in your life, He's going to make that good. The work that He started in you, He's going to see through the end. We don't have to worry with it. We don't have to worry with the results. All we have to do is be what? Faithful in what God's called us to do. If God's called us to do something, just be faithful. God's got the results. So, time. When we see the results, it's God's time. If not, it may not be God's time. Just be faithful. Together. That's my second word. Time, together. Working together, generations working together to accomplish God's plan. Together. You know, as the Israelites were in the desert, they had to work together. God put them there for a reason. They was afraid to go in. God had to bring them back out, work through them, work in their hearts, work in their minds, work in their life, to bring them together. There's a great separation there. Think about this. What do the young people say about the older generations? What's one phrase that the younger generation says about the older? Clueless. Clueless. They say they just don't get it. They're clueless. That's the way they look at the older generation. How about the older generation? What do they say about the younger generations? They're clueless. What do they say about them? Let's say something like this. What's going on with this younger generation? Do we not? And I look at them. I find myself gravitating more towards that older generation. I look at these young people. I say, what in the world are they thinking? What are they doing? It seems to be a great separation between generations. Not just in age and in wisdom, but in our mindsets. Older folks, older generation. Again, how do you know that you're an older generation? Older generation. Don't resent them. Embrace them. Don't resent them. Embrace them. Invest in them. What we need is a group of older generation that will take the time to invest in the younger generation. Can I tell you something, young folks? Younger generation, that's you guys. Younger generation, whether you know it or not, they get more than you think they do. They know more than you think they do. Look at them. A lot of these folks, they're smarter than you think they are. You guys think you know everything. But guys, can I tell you something? They've seen God work in places that you've never seen. They've seen God do things that you may never see. They've seen God work wonders and miracles. They have more experience in life. God's brung them through the desert. God's brung them through. They're sitting at the edge of the promised land. They're looking over. Older folks, let me give you any of you guys got a life verse? A verse that just kind of fits your life, that just kind of you want to wrap your life around, you just want to trust into? Anybody got a life verse? Anybody? Got one or two? Somebody want to share it? A life verse? I got you one. Older generation, here's your life verse. Psalm 71:18. Write that down somewhere. Psalm 71:18. It says this, and even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I have declared your strength to this generation. When I'm old and gray, do not forsake me. In other words, give me a chance. Give me a chance to declare your strength, your power, your love, your grace, your mercy, everything that you've done in my life to the next generation. Give me a chance. He says, until I have declared your strength to the next generation and your power to all who are to come. Your power to who all that are to come. Next generation. Investing in them. Guys, it's important that you guys take time to invest in them. And hey guys, it's important that you listen. It's important that you take the time to listen. Find a partner. Find somebody to come up beside you and pray with you. Put your arm around you when you're going through a tough time. Guys, you need them more than you know that you do. I didn't realize that. You know, I don't have my phone in my pocket, but if I did, I could pull my phone up and look through my contacts, and my dad's number's still in there. My dad passed away in 2008, but he's still in there because I still need him. And I can think back and all the wisdom that he had, and I can look back at him and say, man, if I just had him right beside me today, how he could lead me, how he could help me and guide me. Guys, you need to find somebody like that, a mentor, someone to look up to. Guys, you can't do it on your own. You may think you know everything, especially you like 13, 14-year-olds, middle school age kids. They know everything. So, working together. Younger generation, you really need them. You need to work together with them to help them, to guide them, to learn from their guidance. Older generations, you need to be able to guide them. So, time together and trust. Trust. You know, it's more than just trust. It's trust and obey, for there's what? There's no other way. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will what? Direct your path. If He's directing your path, you have to obey Him. So trust Him and obey Him. God's got a plan for the older folks. Listen. Older folks, older generation. Trust that God has a plan for the younger folks. And embrace them. Help them. Stand beside them. Trust. Trust God's plan. I'm not saying trust them. I'm not saying trust them. You can't trust them. They're teenagers. But you can trust the God that created them with a plan and a purpose. God's plan and God's purpose for them sometimes is revealed through you. Younger folks, younger generation, trust that God is using the older generation to guide your path. Now, that's scary. Older generation, that's scary. It's scary to know that someone's watching your every move. Every move you make, someone's watching. Which way are you leading? What do they see in you? You know, no matter how old you are, no matter where you're at in life, no matter which generation you fall into, someone's watching you. Young folks, someone's watching you. Someone's looking up to you. Jada, someone's watching you, looking up to you. How old are you? 10. Someone's watching her. She has a little sister that's watching her. Every step she makes, she's right behind her, following her. So someone's watching you. No matter what stage you are in life, someone's watching you. Where are you leading them? Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 20. That's our text. It says that you may love the Lord your God and that you may obey His voice. God's given us a choice. He says, therefore choose life. Verse 19, that you and your descendants may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, and you may obey His voice. Trusting in Him and obeying Him. Your Father, which is in heaven, trusting Him, obeying Him. Bringing Him to a point in your life where all your confidence rests on Him. Leaning not on our own understandings, but in everything we do, acknowledge Him, trusting on Him, leaning on the everlasting arm of the Father. Trust. So we see it's all in God's timing. God's got a plan. God's working things in our life. God wants us to do something big, but it's in His timing. We have to work together to see this plan come through. We have to trust that God's got a plan and God's working it out. Everything works together for those that love God. Works together for the good that God's got a plan. He's working it out. So we've got to trust Him. And then we've got to teach. This is for the older generation. We've got to teach. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 9. I'm sorry, 19. This is while Moses was in the wilderness. God comes to him and says, Moses, tell your people this. He says, you shall teach them to your children. Teach them. That's the precepts, God's precepts, God's word. Teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit down in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What is it saying? It means your lifestyle. What kind of lifestyle are you setting before your children, your grandchildren? Those kids that you just maybe watch on occasion on the weekend, what kind of lifestyle do you set before them? You know, if we look at the lifestyle of our society, what do we see? Man, we see a lifestyle that's full of stuff. You watch a commercial. You watch a TV show. You see a lifestyle that's full of drugs, alcohol, homosexuality. A lifestyle that's not becoming or fitting of a Christian. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, church, people, Christians, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Living a lifestyle. It's the principle that Christ set up in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 when he says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We want to know what's going to get our young people in a good relationship with the Holy God. It's when they see us living before them, letting our light so shine that they see that and they glorify God which is in heaven. There's a lot of responsibility on us. So what do we teach them? Teach them a lifestyle, but what do we teach them? Teach them of the promised land. God's promised a land. John chapter 14, 1 through 5 says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way? God's prepared a place for us, a promised land. It's where the streets are gold. It's where the gates are pearl. But yet he spent so much time preparing me a home, a place, beside the Father. I wonder what it's going to look like. If he uses gold to pave the streets, I wonder what my home is going to look like. He's preparing me a place. Some 2,000 years ago, he went up into heaven, the great carpenter, to prepare a place for me. I can only imagine if it takes him 2,000 years to prepare me a place, what it may look like. And I get excited about heaven. Walking those streets of gold, seeing those saints, walking beside maybe my mom and my dad, my sister that's already there. My grandparents is already there. Just walking beside them. Fellowshipping, communicating with them. What excites me the most is when I leave this place, my next breath, my next thing I will see is my Savior. Face to face with a holy God. So we need to teach them that there's a place. There's a promised place. And we need to teach them how to get there. It's all about the cross. Cross. He built a bridge. A cross. Through his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life with the Father. Something that we always forget. Something I forget to teach my kids. Teach them about the place. Teach them how to get there. I begin to teach them at an early age, a lifestyle that a Christian should live. A lot of you guys do the same thing. Stacy, I want to use you for an example. When we went out to eat the other day, and little Isaac went to say the blessing, and at Isaac's little age, put his hands together and bowed his head and closed his little eyes. At an early age, we begin to teach them the lifestyle that they should live. But what we so often forget is what John taught from the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We forget that very thing that separates them from a holy God. We forget to teach them 1 John 1:9. Well, 1 John says 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We forget to teach them how to repent. What does it mean to repent? It means when my kids are doing something, that means stop! Just back up, back away, get away from it, stop, get away, turn, and just walk away from it. Repent is more than just a prayer. Repent is more than just lip action. It's action. It means stop, turn away, and get away. You know, a lot of times I'm guilty of when I come down to this altar, I have something in my life, and I'll come down and I'll begin to pray. I say, God, here's what's going on in my life. I failed you in some way. Forgive me. But yet when I get up from the altar, I'll come back, maybe I'll come sit down, and the church is over. It's like I want to slip back up here to the altar and grab that. Well, nobody's looking, so nobody knows I've gotten it. It's like I want to slip back up here and just grab it and put it back in my pocket and carry it home with me. When we repent and we turn and we get away from something, God intends for us to leave it there at the altar. Repent. We've got to teach our kids how to do that so that they can continue that fellowship. It's what broke the fellowship. It's what kept the Israelites from going into the promised land. A sin that they did not repent of until it was too late. Repent. Repentance. We don't hear it in our churches anymore. We say, oh, everybody's good. Everybody's having a great day. We begin to preach these feel-good messages that talks about a promised land. And those promises are good. Those promises are what keeps me going through. We've got to repent of those things that are in our life. Sometimes you may see me on this step right up here on a Sunday morning because something's happened to me during the weekend. There's times during my day that I'll get alone. I'll come in here and I'll just sit right down here. I'll say, God, we just need to get right. You haven't left me, I've left you. And I do that on a weekly basis. I'll just come right down here, a little spot right there. I'll just sit right there, and I'll just begin to pray. Sometimes I don't even know why. Sometimes I don't even know what's in my life that's keeping me, that's hurting me and harming me, but yet I'll come down here, I just feel that there's something there. There's something that's separating us. My relationship with God, and I'll sit right here and I'll begin to pray. And before long I'll realize, now I see. Now I see. He opens my eyes and lets me see. He pierces my heart because He wants me close. The closer I get, the more I see. So if we leave here this morning, here's what I want us to see. Time together builds trust. Time together with a holy God builds trust. Time together with generations builds trust. Time together with a holy God gives Him opportunity to teach me. Time together with generations gives time for teaching. God's called us to do that. God's called us to come together as generations to teach and to learn. Time together builds trust and opportunity to teach. there's a great chain. It's kind of a tension, if you will, between generations. Younger generations say, oh, they don't understand, they don't get it, they don't see it. Older generations saying, what in the world are these young kids thinking? What are they doing? What's wrong with them? There's a tension there. It separates. It's a chain of tension that just kind of, it just there, and you can't get across that chain. It's a barrier. This morning is time to come together. This morning is time to trust that God's going to give us an opportunity to either be taught or to teach. And we have a choice. Verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death. Giving you a choice, life and death. See, it's life and death. The impact that we have on these young folks is life and death. It can determine their ever after. It can determine where they spend eternity. Life and death. I've given you a choice. He says, therefore choose life, that both you and the next generation may live. Choice. So what do you choose this morning? What do you choose this morning? Do you choose life or death? Death is simply not getting involved. Death is simply not encouraging. Death is simply not being part of that generation. Not coming together. But life, anything that's healthy grows. Life. Growing together. Generations. Coming together, working together to fulfill God's plan. What's God's plan? Matthew chapter 28. Going out into the whole world, spreading His gospel. His gospel. Simply telling them about Christ and what He's prepared for them. And how Christ can get them there. It's through the cross. Through the cross. So, the next generation. God's building it. You're going to be a part of it. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for all that You do. God, we thank You for broken hearts this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that we begin to pray to You, asking You, showing us, teaching us ways to bridge the gaps between the generations. As I've looked around this auditorium this morning, God, I see a lot of folks with a lot of wisdom. Some great people. My prayer this morning is that those folks in here that's got all this wisdom, these great people, would yet have a broken heart for You. That they would share Your word, share Your lifestyle with the younger generation. And Father, my prayer this morning is for the younger generation to be acceptable through Your guidance, that they would trust in You, that You've got a plan through this older generation to lead them, to direct them, and to guide them. So, Father, this morning, as we have our time of invitation, I pray that, God, we begin to have broken hearts, God, for ministry, for doing Your work, for loving on one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love, which is like You.
as I go, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns unending love. Amazing love. The Lord has promised His love to me. I go, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns unending. Amazing.
Thank everyone for coming out this morning and just to support our youth and our Youth Sunday. But most importantly this morning, my prayer is just in my heart this morning is that our generations come together, that we have some mentors that just come together with our younger folks and mentor them. As I've looked around, I've been praying the last few weeks and thinking that all the older generation are here. As I look around, I see so much wisdom. I can just see it everywhere I look. Our young people need that. I've been praying for your older generation, that God will just put a burden in your heart for one of our youth. So if that burden begins, something begins to prick in your heart and it begins to work in you, and you go, where is that coming from? I've been praying. It's me. I did that. Been praying for you, and God's going to be working in your hearts and your minds and your lives. And my prayer is that this morning that you guys are really sensitive of where God's leading you. I don't want to point you in a direction. I don't want to try to get you to do anything that God hasn't leading you to do. So as I pray this morning, pray with me that God will really speak to your heart. He will soften your heart and tend your heart, but put a burden there to minister to these young folks. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing in this church. God, as I look around, God, I continue to see so much wisdom. God, in the hearts of these wise, I ask you, Lord, just to begin to soften it, to tender it, and to really put a burden there for our young folks. God, as mentors, someone our young people can look up to. God, let's bridge the gap in these generations. That we wouldn't be awkward together, yet we would come together and love one another. And God, learn from each other. In Jesus' name, amen.